From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Last fall, they assumed they'd graduate from college in a robust economy with an abundance of job choices given low unemployment rates. But a global pandemic has turned those expectations upside down, and instead, many Granite Staters about to get their higher education diplomas face a job market in turmoil and an uncertain future. Today in The Exchange, we check in with the class of 2020, and let's hear from you. If you're a college senior or the parent of one, what are you thinking about right now? And if you're an employer, what are your prospects for hiring new college graduates? Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org, or call in the number 1-800-892-6477. And before we hear from college students, we're going to turn to those who help them launch their careers. With me now by Skype is Bruce Elmsley, professor and chair of the economics department at UNH, and also Jennifer Tockman, director of the Career Development Center at Colby Sawyer College. Welcome to both of you. And Jennifer, I want to start with you. What are you hearing from your seniors? How are they feeling? What are they doing?
Well, how they're feeling, I think, is stressed across the board, you know, minus a few that may have secured jobs that entail remote responsibilities. They're pretty stressed, and I think what they're doing, and as we talked to them as they were finishing out their semesters, a lot of them sort of just put it off because they just wanted to get through their classes. They had so many challenges going from in-person to remote that adding that stressor of finding the job on top of that with so many unknowns, I think was going to put too many of them in extra turmoil as they entered into their final couple weeks of the semester. So stressed, and now that the finals are over for us, I think that they're going to be hopefully in gear.
Yeah. So Jennifer, normally they would have sort of balanced end of the year activities, tests and finals and all that stuff, with getting the job search starting. You seem to be saying now, you know, everything being thrown online quite suddenly, that was all they could manage. They really haven't started yet, a lot of them.
That's true. A lot of them have not. There's a lot of, you know, preparation over their 4 years, and hopefully their resumes and cover letters and all those kinds of things are in order. But actually going out and searching, I don't know that many of them even know where to begin. Looking at what their industry is going to look like in a month or 6 months, I think has got them all thinking about what their next move should even be.
Right. And I'm going to ask you a little bit later, like how you even go out and search, as you said, in this environment when nobody is meeting in person. Bruce, same question. How are your seniors doing, your economics majors at UNH?
Well, they're all very anxious, uncertain. Some are depressed that I've heard from. But basically, our students are attempting to look for jobs. We have a good career placement center here at DePaul College, and they've been working overtime to try to find out who is actually employing right now, or who has the possibility of employing. And so they've been working overtime for our students, but the situation is fairly bleak. Like you mentioned, a lot of our students were expecting that they would have a job market, which was, they would have choices. Oh,
sure.
When I graduate, I'll have 3 or 4 great choices. And to find that within a span of a few weeks, it went from great to horrible was a big shock to them. And they're basically recovering from it. Yeah.
I remember after the last recession, you know, there was a lot of talk among college students about, well, I'll just graduate and, you know, go work in a coffee shop or something while I figure it out. Bruce, now you can't even work in a coffee shop.
No, you really can't. And so this is actually fairly new. All the statistics we have for previous recessions and whatnot, there were other things going on where you could find employment in like a coffee shop or a restaurant or something like that. And now there's really nothing going on. So it is very difficult.
Well, Bruce, putting on your economist hat, please, what does the data tell us about job prospects when you graduate during a recession?
Well, they're not good. I mean, the unemployment rate in February for the country was 3.5%, and that puts the college grad unemployment rate at about 2%. And so now the expectation is for the jobs report coming out on Friday that it's going to be 16, maybe even upwards of 20%, which for me puts the college unemployment rate maybe at 9%. And so it's just a difficult, difficult time. People are being laid off. And so therefore, those are the types of people that are going to get the jobs back first. You're typically going to hire someone who's a college graduate with 2, 3, 4, 5 years of experience before you're going to hire that college graduate with zero experience. And so typically for people that are graduating from college in that age of 20 to 24, out of a recession, even once the recession ends, you still see the unemployment rate for that group going up. And it typically doesn't peak for about a year after the recession ends. So there's going to be a continuous swell of increasing unemployment for this group of college graduates, even after the formal ending of the recession.
Wow. How are you talking to students about this, Bruce, without just, you know, completely deflating them and making them feel like it's not even worth trying?
I haven't been.
Yeah.
I've talked with students in general terms and asked about their experiences.
Sure.
And that sort of thing. I really haven't spoken to them about, like, well, your prospects are this, that, or the other thing. And when I talk about statistics, I want everyone to know that I'm not talking about every individual. Individual results vary. But as a group, this is what your 2020 graduates are going to be expecting.
Well, and in a few minutes, we'll talk about what you just said, Bruce, individual results vary, and what advice you guys are giving students about how to improve their prospects. But Jennifer, how are you talking with students and helping them prepare for this job market that Bruce describes?
Sure. So we try to do, and we'll continue to do, all of the work that we regularly do, as you might imagine, in a career office, everything from preparing, the best resume possible, being prepared for interviewing, offering all kinds of services as mock interviewing and practice and networking, certainly utilizing the online tools such as LinkedIn, and really being an advocate for yourself and trying to get in front of as many professionals as possible. But one of the other things that I think has shifted in the way that we're coaching, and I know Bruce said that you're not seeing students, we're seeing students constantly and trying to remotely coach them all in all kinds of different ways. But one of the things that seems to, make them feel a little bit better is looking at different approaches. So one of the things, we always encourage students to do your research, understand who you're going to talk to, what their business is about, and what their needs are. And that's not all that different from the way that we may coach a student now, except that we're making sure that they really understand the needs of the company now. If the companies, that they're looking at are places that are currently shut down, in a month or 2 months, whenever they are able to reopen and reopen slowly, things are not going to be back to normal. So what kind of skills and value can that student bring to the table right now under these circumstances that's maybe over and above or a little different than what's normally expected from a brand new candidate? And that's been helping. When they can look at the perspective of the employer and do their research and understand what type of position that company is in, they may be better able to market different skills and values than they might have in a normal circumstance. And so that's something that's starting to help and starting to give students at least a little bit of structure on how to go out and approach the employers they're looking at.
Yeah, so do your homework, as people always say. Really find out what that organization, what that employer is facing right now, and see if you can sort of tailor your pitch towards what that organization needs. That seems to be what you're saying, Jennifer.
Yeah. And then also, it doesn't hurt for a student to put together a proposal of some sort that maybe the employer hasn't had time to think about right now. I think, I would imagine a new employee or an intern, for instance, might not be at the top of their priority list as they're starting to come back from all this. So if the student can put together or the alumni put together a proposal of what they can bring to the table or what that what they might be able to suggest for that business to make a better comeback, they may be in a better position.
I want to remind our listeners that our phone number is 1-800-892-6477. And today in the exchange, we are talking about the class of 2020, those soon-to-be college graduates, how they're doing, what they're thinking about as they approach a very uncertain job market. If you're a soon-to-be college graduate yourself, give us a call. Or if you're the parent of a college senior, we'd like to hear from you. Tell us your stories. Tell us what's going on in your mind right now. Our phone number again, 1-800-892-6477. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. And both of you, we received a note from Sarah in New London. She wrote in on our survey, our big listener survey that we're encouraging everyone to chime in on at nhpr.org. Sarah says, my classes are all online, including my senior mathematics capstone class. I have been laid off from work. Online learning is a joke at this level, and I'm now faced with not having the knowledge I need to be marketable and get a job. What do you think about this, Bruce? She, you know, I feel for her. She was supposed to have this capstone project in mathematics, and she just feels like the last couple months of online learning weren't worth anything. What would you say to her, Bruce?
I'll say that's too bad. We've attempted really, really hard to make sure that our classes are still meaningful for our students, and that's really sounds bad. But what I would say is, you know, fall back on your 4 years of experience. If you're a math major, that's a nice degree to have. It fits well with a lot of graduate schools and a lot of graduate programs, and also it fits well with a lot of employers. So I wouldn't focus on, I didn't get a great last 3 months. I would say focus on, what did I get over my full 4 years? And if you focus on that, I think you find out, and you start thinking about it, that, you know, I have more skills than I probably thought I did.
Sarah, thanks for writing in. And you can send us an email as well, exchange@nhpr.org, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Bruce, Jennifer a moment ago talked about trying to walk students through the process of maybe amping up their research. They're thinking about what a potential employer might need, especially in this time. And she mentioned internships. I'm wondering, Bruce, is anybody even doing internships, especially as summer approaches?
We had a full line of internships lined up for our students, and I don't really know how many of those have collapsed or not. So, but internships in general are really important. Employers really love to see those. And so if you had an internship that was lined up and maybe that one fell through, go to your college career and internship services people and do everything you can to find another, because they're really important. They're great for your resume. They give you job experience, and they really also give employers a test run to see if you're the type of person they want to hire. A lot of our graduates get a job from their internships. Employers really use those as a essentially free, not quite free, but free tool to find out how good you really are.
Right. And we often hear about how important they are. And Jennifer, I think I'm thinking about internships, though, in a very old-fashioned, meaning 6 months ago, context of, you know, the young person coming in and sort of getting to know the team and working with that team. And then Bruce is right. Often interns are hired after that test run. How do you do an internship when people aren't supposed to be in the same physical space together, Jennifer?
So that's something that we're dealing with ongoing right now. And again, the approach isn't that different from those that are about to graduate. But one of the things that we're encouraging students to focus on and employers that we're talking to and engaging with are shorter term projects. Is there something that would be useful for an intern to come in to be able to do at this time? They may be less costly than a full-time employee. Could somebody be willing to take somebody on to complete an actual project that needs to be done? And on the flip side from the students, we're encouraging them to go out with those types of proposals and say, look, here's what skills I have, and I think that this is what I can I can do for you right now. And there's less of a commitment to necessarily having to take on a new staff member or full-time employee after that. But as Bruce mentioned, it's certainly a way in the door. You know, typically our rate of students receiving offers from the internships is between 50 and 60% each year. So that's huge for us at Colby Sawyer, and it's been always huge for our students. So the fact that even, you know, something that has you know, changed is challenging. So I think that really the approach is so, so important. And hopefully some of those will turn into opportunities later on. But again, you know, showing their value and skill is number one there.
Well, and speaking of internships, and, you know, Bruce mentioned the possibility that some of them may be canceled for the summer. What have you heard, Jennifer, about students who had jobs lined up and those jobs still being there?
Well, so if we're talking about internships, I would say more than half of them have been canceled. And so those students are scrambling in all different directions. And we're being as creative as possible and trying to have students understand how they need to be flexible. In terms of job offers, I haven't heard too many job offers having fallen through. However, we have heard of some that have changed their tune. So like you said earlier, some may be delayed. Or they're starting in a remote fashion. I think training's an easier thing to possibly do online when there's reading involved or online tools or webinars, things like that. And so those might be things that are a little bit more taken advantage of at the beginning. You know, I think just the whole idea of having to go out to look for one if you haven't started that process. And you know, many students slowly start that process, but we're not there quite yet. And then when this whole pandemic hit, you know, as we said earlier, it threw a lot of students off. So their regular expectations of what they were going to go out and do and how they were going to job search just changed completely.
Well, and Bruce, you gave us the overall unemployment numbers a couple minutes ago and predictions that it's not going to get better anytime soon. But how will the impacts be different, Bruce, from industry to industry? Some fields must be growing. For example, video conferencing. It's a good time to work for a video conferencing company. So how is this going to be different depending on what a student has been studying?
That's very difficult because students, no matter what they study, they go into all kinds of industries. So if you studied history, that means not doesn't mean you're going to go into history. And so I really would recommend folks that to think about, go by industry and think about what is going to be expanding, what's going to be contracting, and over the next, you know, year or so. And really try to tailor your pitch and tailor your message and get as much information as you possibly can about an industry that you want to target. That's important.
Interesting. So don't just focus on, oh, I studied history, I must work at a museum or be a history teacher. You know, think about the industries that are doing well right now and see if you can tailor yourself to that. Is that what you're saying, Bruce?
Yeah, history is a speaking of that particular, is a big major. And almost no one actually goes into be a history this or a history that. You're going out and you're going to find a job in a company, just like most other majors are going to do. And so you're taking those specific skills, those investigative skills, those skills that you get as a historian, and taking them and applying them to a particular industry or a particular management job or something like that. Yeah.
You know, Jennifer, Colby Sawyer has a robust nursing program, and I wonder how the job market looks for your nursing graduates.
Well, our nursing graduates are faring quite well. They do a lot of experiential learning, clinical rotations with our biggest partners with Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center. I think we have a renewed investment in time and education with Dartmouth Hitchcock. And so we do have a lot of students heading in that direction. Typically, our nursing students are 100% in jobs within, you know, 6 months or less of graduating. But right now I did get an update prior to this call, and there were very few without placements at this time. So So those students are, you know, I think in good shape. And the preparation for this that they get at Colby Sawyer really positions themselves well in this situation especially.
A couple last questions for both of you. And Bruce, in the last recession, I remember many people went back to school. They said, forget the job market right now. I'm just going to go back to community college and get a technical skill, or I'm going to get a master's degree in education or whatever. Do you expect that college enrollment might actually go up because of the economic downturn?
For the professional master's degrees, I think for sure. Most of the colleges in the area in terms of our undergraduates are expecting a downturn. But for the professional master's programs and things like that, that's definitely, we're expecting a big increase. And that's a typical thing that you see, like you said, is people will go back to school. And it turns out that if you are graduating in a recession, that's probably one of the better things you can do. This is one of the bright spots, is that recessions come and hopefully they go. And if you're going to go and start to get more skills, then you're going to be in a much better position. And especially that's true for folks that are in traditionally low economic return majors. And if they're in one of those situations, the decreases you're going to see in your employment potential are actually greater than if you're in one of the higher return, typical high return majors like engineering, something like that. And so if you're in one of those majors, going and getting additional education, especially in something that's somewhat more applied, can really help.
Very interesting. What do both of you tell young people about to graduate, in addition to, you know, the skills, whether it's the master's degree or getting an extra skill at a community college? Jennifer, you first. What personal qualities do you talk to young people about that you say are just as important as any, you know, resume or degree or skill that they might have?
Sure. So, I mean, I think the liberal arts skills are key here. Everything from being able to work with a team in all kinds of different circumstances. This is a great example.
Yeah.
You know, being able to communicate, being able to be flexible, think fast, be open-minded, figure out how you can use those skills and apply them in different ways. As Bruce was saying, maybe in a different industry than you thought you were going, or a different type of job. So I guess being able to be flexible overall, using those skills that hopefully that you've attained over your 4 years of college, and figuring out how to best use them.
What would you say to that, Bruce? Personal skills that you think would help a young person graduating at this time?
Perseverance.
Yeah.
Essentially,
we could all use that, right?
Yeah. When you're graduating in a recession, you're going to end up with a lower job, lower paying, smaller firm than what you had expected to. And how the statistics say that how people actually overcome that is by being mobile. And that means always keeping your skill set as up to date as possible, keep your resume up to date, and really understanding that going in that you're going to be rejected most of the time. And so, you know, have a tough skin, because you're going to face rejection and you just keep going. Perseverance.
Well, and coming up in a few minutes, we will be talking with three college or soon to be college graduates. But Bruce, last question for you. If you could just leave our college graduates listening and their families listening with some kind of a positive message.
In general, we've talked about the fact that you're going to be worse off than you would have been, but you're still going to, you know, have a career. You're still going to do fine. Things eventually they improve. And so as long as you stay mobile, as you're willing to move from job to job to job, and once you get a job, and then also potentially go back to school, get more education, more skills, you're going to be fine.
Well, and you mentioned those college unemployment rates versus the overall unemployment rates, and it still seems like the college graduate unemployment rate, Bruce, is way better than the general unemployment rate.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're talking about the difficulties if you are a college graduate coming out during a recession. it's even worse in that sense if you're just a high school graduate, even worse if you didn't graduate high school. So college graduates, people with a graduate degree, they're suffering, but they're on the lower end of the suffering scale.
Well, Bruce, it's good to talk to you. We'll talk again.
Thank you very much.
That's Bruce Elmslie, professor and chair of the economics department at UNH. And Jennifer, same question for you. A positive note for all those students you're working with who are, as you said, viewing all this with anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, you're not alone. Everybody, you know, luckily or unluckily, is in the same boat as you. So the competition is equal, as, you know, as it may have been earlier on. I would say absolutely use your career offices. Alumni, go back and use your career offices. They're always there for you. There are jobs, and we are seeing students, you know, secure those jobs. But as Bruce says, I think as perseverance, persistency, and creativity and flexibility are what you're going to need to be successful there. But if you can have that and you can be persistent with that, I think that you will succeed.
Jennifer, thank you very much for being with us today. I'd like to talk to you again, too. So thank you, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jennifer Tauchman. She's director of the Career Development Center at Kobe Sawyer College. Now, coming up, three New Hampshire college seniors join us on how they're doing and what they're thinking. And we'll hear your stories. Join us by email, exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. Or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. This is The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, soon-to-be college graduates and how they feel about entering the job market at this time. Let's hear from you. If you're about to get your higher education degree or you're the parent of a college senior, how are you viewing the current landscape? Also, if you're an employer who hires new college graduates, what advice do you have for the class of 2020? Send us an email. It's exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook, tweet us, or call in 1-800-892-6477. We have three college seniors with us right now. Sarah Kolk, she's a senior at Dartmouth College. She's from Peterborough, New Hampshire. Also Grace Bowman, a senior at Ithaca College, also from Peterborough. And Eddie Barry, a senior at SNHU from Hudson, New Hampshire. And welcome to all of you. Sarah, I want to start with you. As you approach graduation, how are you doing? How are you feeling? What are you thinking about, Sarah? Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm feeling a lot of things. Definitely sad and a little disappointed and bummed. My graduation was delayed a year, so in June of 2021, I'll get to walk with my class, which will be nice. But for the time being, I'm feeling a little bit in limbo and a little bit nervous about finding a job, but also really grateful for home and my family. So it's definitely a mix of things.
Sure. So you're at home in Peterborough. Have you finished all your classes and everything yet, Sarah, or you have a couple more things to do?
I have a little bit more time because we have a little bit of a later schedule than most schools, so I would be taking class until the beginning of June anyway. So, I have 4 more weeks of classes.
Okay, 4 more weeks of classes, and then you graduate. Your graduation will be in 2021. Wow. How about you, Grace? How are you doing, and what are you up to?
Yeah, so like Sarah said, I'm definitely sad and disappointed that I won't be able to spend the next or the last couple of months of college with my friends and doing all of the things that the seniors look forward to doing. But I'm also, really grateful that I live in a really great place and I'm here with my family and I kind of get to see some of my home friends and talk to them while I'm home. And I'm definitely, nervous for what's to come, whether that's finding a job, or starting to like pay off my college loans. But I am definitely excited for my school is trying to do their graduation in the beginning of August. So I'm hopeful that that will be able to happen. And it's just nice having something to look forward to, even though it may be delayed again, but it's just nice to have that date put in place.
Oh, so August of this summer, you're hoping to go back to Ithaca, Grace, and graduate with your classmates.
Yeah, I am. I'm hoping to be able to walk with them then. But if not, I know that our school will definitely do something for us in the later months.
Wow. Well, I hope you can. And are you done with school yet, Grace, or do you have a little bit left?
I have 2 more weeks left. It got pushed back a little bit because of everything that happened, but I should be done very soon.
Okay. And Eddie, how are you doing? What's going on with you these days?
I'm doing well. I just finished up all my assignments on Friday. And our school postponed our graduation, and I still think they're finding a date, but it's funny. Graduation is like one of those things where it's like the exact event that would be like unadvisable in a time like this. So I think things are still on pause for that. But in the meantime, I'm doing pretty well. Luckily, I found a full-time position back in November. I was recently contacted, and they're pushing back the start date to September. But, you know, I still have my fingers crossed. I think I'll be able to start working there. So, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm staying hopeful. And, yeah.
Is it hard to stay hopeful, Eddie?
I'd say yes, because, you know, slowly, one by one, things kind of keep getting taken away. You know, first it was school, then it was, you know, the gym, then it was, you know, your friends. And then just recently, a couple weekends ago, I was going to go on a hike with my brothers, and they just closed the White Mountains. Mm. So it seems, you know, in a time when, you know, people are kind of starting to say, oh, you know, we're going to start opening things up, things kind of keep closing from my perspective. So I am still hopeful, but, you know, so we'll see.
Well, I got a couple emails from listeners, and I'd love to get your thoughts. And again, I want to invite Exchange listeners to join us. We're talking about the class of 2020, these soon-to-be college graduates here in New Hampshire, and how they're feeling about entering the job market at a very uncertain time. Again, our number is 1-800-892-6477. You can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And our college seniors are Sarah Kolk. She's at Dartmouth College. Also Grace Bowman. She's at Ithaca, and Eddie Berry at SNHU. And all of you, a couple emails have come in. Sandy says, my daughter is graduating from Rensselaer Polytechnic. All of her peers are distressed that they will not have the opportunity to walk at graduation, that they were deprived of spending the end of their college life together and participate in senior week activities. And Sandy says, most importantly, filled with anxiety about not having jobs, having their jobs deferred until January 2021, and being a low priority for business. What will they do? Sandy says. She says, P.S., graduate school is out of the question, since it too may be online in the fall semester. I think I'll turn to you first, Sarah, on that last point that Sandy makes. Filled with anxiety about not having jobs and being a low priority for businesses. How do you feel about that, Sarah?
I think it's not unfounded. There's like, it's going to be a tough job market for sure. I want to be hopeful that even if things are tough economically, people still will need to hire people. And especially coming out of this, I imagine a lot of new fields of work and just other industries, like hiring people with new skills and looking to reinvent or maybe just think a little bit more out of the box, having this disruption to kind of kickstart that. So I want to say that eventually we will all figure it out, but it definitely feels really uncertain. And I think a lot of college seniors are feeling that, and it's hard not to get in a mindset where things are looking a little bit rough. But I am hopeful, and I'm hopeful that regardless of when people graduate, they have a lot to offer. So I want to be hopeful.
Well, and Sarah, Sandy, our emailer, mentioned graduate school, saying, you know, she thinks it's out of the question because it might be online in the fall. Are you more inclined, Sarah, to think about graduate school, given that the job market doesn't look great? We talked about that earlier with our economist from UNH. He said, in recessions, in economic downturns, a lot of people do decide to go to graduate school. So what are you thinking, Sarah?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've been thinking about a lot because I want to go to graduate school eventually. I was thinking within a few years. But that being said, yeah, if I can't find anything or if jobs are looking for higher degrees, that might be a sooner rather than later thing. So I think it's something to think about. I do know that even though I've only had a few weeks online, it hasn't been as great as it was in person at school, so I would be more inclined to wait until things can get back in person in terms of education. But at the same time, like you said, it's an option that is not trying to get a job in this economy. So
yeah.
I think it's not unfounded. Like both aspects of you don't really want to do it online, but also it's an alternative to a job is super real.
Wow. All right. Well, let's take a call. And Dave is calling in from Lebanon. Hi, Dave. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure. Go ahead, Dave.
Sure. So just wanted to say, Grace, fellow Ithaca College alum, class of 2009, congratulations.
Oh, you graduated during a recession too, Dave.
Yeah, I did. Pretty wild. And to be honest, it took me a while to find a job in the industry that I wanted to go into myself. So, you know, internships are important and all that stuff. But my advice, if I may, for the class of 2020, be flexible, and not just, and because we were talking about that earlier, but I mean specifically, look into industries that are adjacent to your interests. I graduated with a degree in English, and I wanted to go into publishing, and, you know, hoping to be an editor of some kind, and I wound up with a career as a literary agent for a little while and scouting. So, and I was really happy, and those opened up a lot of different opportunities for me. So, you know, everything is an opportunity in and of itself.
Well, it's really good to hear from you, Dave. Thank you for calling in. I'm glad you landed on your feet, because a lot of people are talking about how tough it was the last time around. Do you want to jump in on that, Eddie? You had a job lined up, you said that the offer has been, I don't want to say delayed, but put off until a little bit later than you had hoped. So go ahead, Eddie, your thoughts on what we heard from Dave in Lebanon.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a couple of, I feel really lucky to be able to get that job, but I know a couple of my friends were in the middle of internships and they were, you know, told, hey, you know, this internship can't go any longer. We're going to have to, you know, stop the whole thing. And so just being in an environment, you know, keeping in touch with some of my friends that are having a lot of problems, I feel very fortunate. And I think, you know, I think it's a good point that he mentioned that, I guess, if you can do something adjacent to your exact career, you know, just to try to get your foot in the door somewhere, because you know, it seems like there's less of a supply of jobs and a higher demand for jobs, you know, because now there's more people out of work and less jobs available. I guess you kind of just throw whatever you can at the wall and see what sticks at this point. But
I like that word that you and Dave are using, Eddie, adjacent. Talk a little bit more about that. It's not exactly what you thought you would do, but it's adjacent.
Yeah, I think it might cause you to be a little bit more open-minded, you know. You might be dead set on a certain career, and, you know, who knows if that was the right career for you anyway. You might find something similar to it that you like even more. So I think it's a good idea to be open-minded to that.
Grace, we've heard a lot this hour about the importance of internships. How do you feel when you hear about the really important role that internships can play in terms of people getting jobs? If I were you, I might be thinking, how am I supposed to get an internship? You know, no, all businesses are hunkering down and I can't even like walk into somebody's office and make a great impression. So how do you feel about that, Grace?
Yeah, so unfortunately for me, I actually had just started an internship back in Ithaca right before all of this started. And I had just started the momentum. Luckily, it is doing a lot of social media, so I am still able to do that from home, but I'm definitely not able to learn as much because I'm not in the office working with the employees and learning about it. I know how important internships are, and I have previously had one, so at least I have one under my belt, and I have this one where, you know, I'm still able to do a little bit of it. But I know for people, especially for, you know, upcoming seniors that were going to be doing internships this summer, that would be a great time for them to be doing internships, and they're not able to do that. I think that, you know, I would try at this point, you kind of have to take anything that you can get, whether that internship's with the field that you want or not. Because just getting, you know, a little bit of an understanding of like the workforce under your belt is going to be such a priority when you're applying for jobs in the future.
So even if it isn't in your field, even if it's not even adjacent, as we've been saying, Grace, just to have people like get to know you and say, yeah, Grace, she's great. She's a good worker. She has a good attitude, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And you can meet people that can then help you find a job in your preferred career in the end. So yeah, getting to know people out there is really helpful.
Well, here's an email from a listener in Exeter who says, I am repeating what I heard on NPR a few days ago. A young man with a new college degree said, if I had to do it over again, I would go into a trade. Those people will always have jobs. He's now going to be trained as an electrician. I am thrilled that although our family all has college and advanced degrees, our son-in-law, going to college in 2004-2008, smartly decided to quit and switch to trade school. He has had a very good income being self-employed since 2008, even with that recession, and certainly now he has and will never have any problem finding customers. Non-trade college degrees, this person says, are not the key to long-term stability. Plumbers, electricians, service techs and drivers, masons, landscapers, builders, etc. are all doing very well. And certainly we talked earlier about how after the last recession or during the last recession, a lot of people went back to community college to learn some of those skills. Thank you for that person for writing in the email. We'll take more of your emails after a short break. Our address is exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. And we'll hear more from our college seniors, how they're feeling about finding a job at this time. Stay with us. This is The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. This hour, the class of 2020, three New Hampshire soon-to-be college graduates are with us, and let's hear from you. If you're a college senior yourself, or you're the parent of one, how are you feeling about what comes next? If you're an employer who typically hires new college graduates, what advice do you have for the class of 2020? Send us an email. It's exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. Or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. We're talking with Sarah Kolk, senior at Dartmouth College from Peterborough, New Hampshire. Also Grace Bowman, a senior at Ithaca College, also from Peterborough. And Eddie Barry, he's a senior at SNHU. He's from Hudson. One more time, that number, 1-800-892-6477. So we talked about internships. We talked about being a little nervous about getting out there and trying to find a job. What about the summer? Grace, I'll start with you. Are you even going to try to get a summer job?
Yeah, so I currently am working in like the restaurant business. Unfortunately, it has been closed for the time being, but I know that it's going to try and open when we have outdoor seating. So I'm hoping that once that starts to open back up, I'll be able to start working again. But I also know that they'll probably be, you know, have a lot less staff because, you know, there won't be as many people and there'll be still kind of be some restrictions. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to start working within the next month. But if that's not available, I'm definitely going to try and find something else to do for the summer, just, you know, to make some money.
Right. Well, and we talked yesterday on our show on the New Hampshire Economic Roundup about typical summer jobs, you know, working at a day camp or working at an ice cream shop or, you know, a lifeguard or something. Those summer jobs are in question. How about you, Eddie? What are your plans for the summer now that your job has been delayed until the fall?
Yeah, that's a great question. A couple of my friends found some jobs that I might look into. One of them is going to be a delivery driver.
Okay.
And I think they're making some pretty good money these days right now. So like for compensation stuff for the virus, but I'm pretty open right now. I haven't looked. I mean, you know, I wasn't expecting to have to try to find a job for the summer, but I haven't even really quite looked yet because I'm still a little out of the zone from you know, coming back home and being so out of routine. But I plan on calling some of my old bosses. Hopefully, I mean, I'm not sure, but I'm hoping some of those industries are still, you know, considered essential or still operating. But yeah, I'm definitely planning on finding something to do over the summer because I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to just do nothing for the whole summer, you know, if everything's closed, right. You can't really do anything anyway. It's not like I can have a nice summer vacation anyway.
Well, and you've had to pivot quickly, right, Eddie? Because originally you thought you'd be working, mm-hmm. what did you tell us? July 1st was supposed to be your start date.
Yeah, July 13th. So I was hoping it'd be a nice, fun, long summer, you know, the last summer before, you know, entering the corporate world and then, you know, starting my career. But yeah, so that was quickly turned around. And now it's, you know, I think 5 full months now where I need to try to find something to do. So
right.
Yeah, I need to find something quick.
Well, and one young person who I know got a job for the summer doing one of those food delivery services, and he's quite busy and doing quite well. So
yeah,
there may be something there.
Doing that.
Yeah. Sarah, how about you? What are your plans for the summer?
Yeah, I recently also had a summer research job canceled, which I kind of saw coming, but was holding on hope to.
Oh, sorry about that, Sarah. Yeah.
That's okay. So I'm also thinking and looking when I apply to, if I can apply and find a normal longer term job, maybe that'll start sooner. But also I'm thinking about what will be reopening and what are the opportunities I have locally, because I do want to be able to live at home unless something crazy comes up somewhere else. But so I'm thinking about shorter term and also longer term and remote a little bit too. I'm hoping things reopen and it's safe, but at the same time, I'm thinking about things that I could probably do from my laptop, maybe like remote tutoring or something like that. So I'm exploring the options.
Oh, that's interesting. And something you said, Sarah, reminds me of a question I want to ask all of you. I have read about college students. Now, this is people entering college, not leaving like the three of you. But I have read, Sarah, about young people entering college deciding to stay closer to home because this whole thing just kind of exploded so quickly and people had to kind of hunker down so quickly. If you land a job, Sarah, would you prefer to be closer to home or would you like to explore a different part of the country besides New England?
That's a big question I've been asking myself for years.
Yeah, I bet.
I am trying to be open to most everything. I really love Peterborough and New England, and I think I would be pretty happy to stay closer to home. But since I went to school relatively close, I'm also interested in trying somewhere else. And like I said, I'm interested in going to graduate school within a few years. So I kind of envision the next few years to be a chunk of time that is exploring like what I'm interested in and trying out some different things. So no matter where I am, I kind of imagine it as somewhat temporary. So anyway, I haven't really been able to make that call. I think right now in the current moment, I would say if I was on a year or 2 year timeline, closer to home feels a little bit more secure given what you said, but
yeah.
Also, I like I said, I would be excited if something really cool came up elsewhere to try that out.
Yeah, people aren't really moving around a lot right now. How about you, Grace? You know, if you had your druthers, would you get a job in the Peterborough area or in New Hampshire, or would you like to go to another part of the country completely?
I definitely want to, you know, get out there and explore the country while I still can and while I know, you know, I don't have a lot of things tying me down to one place, but as of now, I think I want to stay closer to my family, and, you know, just be around for, you know, my brother's still in college and it'll be nice to see him for the next year or so. And, just kind of waiting out everything until everything's really secure and I can like have a secure job and start paying off, loans and have enough money for rent. So I think that for the time being, I want to stay close to home, and whether that means living at home and working to, you know, save up money or finding like a small place with some friends, I think that, you know, staying close to home is a smart idea for me personally for the time being.
Eddie, how about you? And you don't need to give us the name of the company you were going to work for, but was it local or was it far away?
It was in Portsmouth, so that's about an hour from my house. And I was actually last night I was looking at places to stay, and I think there might have been some effect to the market for apartments at least, because the last time I checked in Portsmouth, the cheapest stuff, you know, for one person was like $1,400 a month.
Wow.
And you know, now I'm finding stuff for like $850 to $1,000 per person, and so. Now I'm like really considering staying in Portsmouth. It's a city that I really like, and my entire family loves it too. So I think I'd be able to see them plenty. So yeah, I'd probably definitely find a apartment down in Portsmouth.
Well, a couple emails have come in offering encouragement to the three of you, and I do want to share them. Anne Marie writes, I just want to offer encouragement. Due to personal circumstances in 2010, I had to do my capstone online and could not attend my graduation. At the time, I was disappointed, but I came out with the skills I needed to succeed. Anne Marie says, I am so glad that I had this opportunity to finish online and on time. Until today, I hadn't thought about missing my graduation walk in nearly a decade. Anne Marie says, life has been wonderful, and school led me to a career and a company that is weathering the COVID-19 crisis far better than most. She says, stay hopeful and remember, this is just for now. The rest of your life is ahead. And Emery says, it will be amazing. Wow, Emery, thank you so much for that. Tom and Rye writes in, he says, we are the parents of a graduating Bates College senior for the class of 2020 and are often reminded of an iconic Manchester, New Hampshire resident who was a female student in the class of 1945 at Cornell. Her class suffered the ravages of World War II, drafted and dead classmates, a graduation that barely occurred, and countless other adversities. Tom says, 75 years later, and now in their 90s, that class is still planning their reunion and has gone down in Cornell history as one of the most prolific and involved classes in the school's history. Our friend's story, Tom says, gives me immense hope for the class of 2020, despite the challenges that they may currently face. And Tom, thank you so much for that one. So adversity, you know, breeds creativity and resilience, I think, is the message from those two people who wrote in. How are the three of you, and I think I'll turn to you first, Grace, how are you trying to find silver linings as upsetting and, you know, uncertain and really just disappointing as this has been? Where are you finding hope and maybe happiness, Grace?
I think that I'm really finding, you know, the happiness being with my family and being able to, you know, like chat and talk with all my friends who are going through the same exact thing. It's as sad as it is, it's really comforting knowing that we're all going through this together and that, you know, we're all trying to find the silver lining. So people are being more positive about certain things or, you know, little activities are making me more excited, like my daily walk with my family and my dog, like downtown on like the beautiful days. I mean, it's starting to finally get really nice outside. I think just having those little moments is making this all a lot easier. And just being thankful that I'm home with a happy family and I get to spend a lot of time with the people I love.
Yeah. And I hear you on the small things. We started ordering out every Friday night from a local restaurant. And now that's like, woohoo, that's our big thing that we do, you know, so I hear you on that. Earlier, Grace, Sarah talked about how she was thinking about graduate school. I didn't ask you, are you thinking about graduate school or no?
Personally, for me, it doesn't seem like it'll be in the cards just because, you know, for my major, it's not something that is really needed in order to, you know, move up in the job field. But yeah, for me, it's just never been something that I really looked into. I'm not saying that I'll never do it or I'll won't think about it in the future. But as of now, you know, just kind of thankful for the college education I got and using those skills to find a job.
How about you, Eddie? Silver linings that you're trying to find in all this?
Yeah, so I was thinking, I made like sort of a connection in my head a little while ago. It's like when you get sick, you know, you realize that you are taking good health for granted. And, you know, you're like, man, you know, being sick is terrible. And, you know, right now I think the whole world is sick. And I think it kind of took this in order for us to realize that we might have been taking, you know, the healthy world for granted. And so I think, you know, as Grace mentioned, and, you know, now we're starting to appreciate those little things. I think, you know, we're going to come back, you know, once the world returns to normal or as close as it'll come to normal, I think we'll be appreciating more things like, you know, the nature, you know, people are going outside more and, you know, those little times you spend with your family and your pets and all of that. So I think we're going to come back as just a more appreciative and, I don't know, mindful, you know, people. And I think we'll be better for it.
How about you, Sarah? Where are you finding hope or a little silver lining in all these gray clouds?
I definitely agree with Grace and Eddie. I have really enjoyed my local outdoors and I've found that it hasn't been super populated in the trails here, so it's nice to be able to use those and feel safe about it. And I've also enjoyed a bit of a change of pace. And I know that comes from being really lucky to be able to have that change of pace at home and feel like home is a relaxing place. But it is nice to be home and with family. I'm also really hopeful that what we come out of this as a nation and hopefully as a world is increased social measures and increased health policy that really can make a longer term helpful impact for folks. So that's something that I'm thinking about a lot, is like with the job I enter, hopefully, or whatever I do next, and plus the response to coronavirus, is the world going to be a better place? And I'm really hoping so.
Well, it's been really great to talk to the three of you. And please let me express very best of luck to all of you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org or subscribe to our podcast. Search Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher for NHPR Exchange.